first idea is a recap of Galatians 1, 2, and the first part of 3. So as we look at Galatians and you look at it as a book, kind of to remember these ideas and these parts of the book. Chapter 1, the Lord Jesus gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of God and Father. That's 1:4. And that idea is kind of expressed throughout the letter. But then Paul goes into verses 8 and 9, which says, let me start in 6. I am amazed that you so quickly deserted him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and wanting to distort the gospel of Christ. 8 and 9. But even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed. He repeats that statement, that idea, being amazed, probably disappointed in the fact that they are going away from the gospel which they had been taught to that of another gospel. And as you go through the letter, you can see that they were getting back into Judaism, getting back into the law. So that was something that we have to be careful for. You know, I guess the application of that could be that we need to be aware that we do not fall back into whatever it is that we came out of, that we need to be steadfast and true to God and true to him. And that gospel is very what? That gospel is very, very specific. There is that he wants us to do, the attitudes that we need to have. And when we deviate from that in any way, what is that? That's walking by a different gospel. It's walking by another truth. It kind of seems narrow. Is that fair? That's what the word teaches us. So we know that going in, and we just need to focus our minds on that. The gospel that Paul preached was not received from man, but by way of revelation through Jesus Christ. So Paul is not preaching his intent, his desires, his wants, whatever. He's preaching the word of God as he received it, through revelation. And again, a recap of chapter 1. Don't fall to a different gospel. Christ called us out of, rescued us from, and the idea of Paul receiving the word from Jesus Christ. Any comments? Chapter 2. Paul continues that idea of defending his apostleship, his knowledge and understanding of the word. James, Cephas, and John extend the right hand of fellowship to Paul and Barnabas once they knew that they were preaching the truth. Again, that idea of fellowship is not it's not a social fellowship. It is a fellowship in the gospel and in that teaching. And when we have fellowship one with another, that's what we have. We have fellowship in the teaching of Christ and living our lives that way. Then Paul, it goes through from 11 through 21, the idea that Paul corrected Peter for his hypocrisy and his act in a way that wasn't according to the scripture, wasn't according to the gospel. Is that a big deal? And if so, why? John?
Something we've been listening to and doing a little research on. Back in was it 1 Corinthians 5, where the man was living in sin and he was corrected publicly. I don't think Chris mentioned this, at least not that I remember, but Peter was doing this in public. I mean, he was accepting, he was getting others to do the same thing he was doing. He was being a hypocrite about it. And right. So it was a public sin. And so Paul, you know, I think Chris had that one question on there. Why did Paul write this in the Galatians? Why did he have to put it in the book? Because it was a public sin. And he's making it public to them and letting them know that, hey, this was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know. I guess I've kind of had that idea too. Is like, really, why is it in the letter? I guess it just, in a sense, it shows, and I'm not sure the word I'm going to use is the right word, but the equality or the equalness with Peter and Paul, that the fact that they were equals as servants of God and teachers and apostles, and Peter needed to be corrected and Paul had the right and the authority to do so. But anybody that needs to be corrected should be, and that should be taken care of. Anything? Okay, chapter 3. And again, chapter 3. Let me read down through verse 10, chapter 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before those whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and the works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham, saying, all those nations shall be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by the things written in the book of the law to perform them. So the Spirit, through this chapter, we're basically talking about the idea of the law and the Spirit and the faith. And if you are going back to practices of the law, then you are going to be condemned by that law. The Spirit does not come through works of the law, but by hearing of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So Abraham lived under the law, but yet what was reckoned to him as righteousness? Kenny? Oh, it looked like he had the answer just right there. Abraham lived under the law. So are they justified by the law? Were they justified by the law?
They were.
Huh?
They were the old law.
Were they justified by the law? Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and work miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by feeling the faith? Verse 8, and the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel before to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. Abraham, the one living under the law, was justified by what? Verse 9. So then those who are of the faith, which is who, are blessed. Who are of the faith? John?
Those that believe.
Those that believe. Those who are of the blessed. Those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. In the back up to 6, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. What was reckoned to God, Abraham, as righteousness?
So Abraham was righteous before he was circumcised. He was.
It said verse 6, so even Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. What was reckoned to him as righteousness?
His faith.
Huh?
His faith.
His faith. His belief. His belief. He lived under the old law, but was he justified by that law? He was justified by his faith. If we go over to Hebrews, see, and I'm detracting. I can't do this. We'll never get as far as we want to get. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 8, for by faith Abraham, when he was called out, obeyed by going out to the place where he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived in an alien land. By faith he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. So Abraham was obedient to God, and he received his inheritance. And how was it that he did that? First part of 8a, by faith he did that. God told him to do it, and he did it. God told him to do it, and he got there at the little desk and got his pencil and paper out and started the conversation with God. It's, I'll do this if, or should I do this because, and he was making a list, and he was arguing back and questioning back and forth to God of why he should do this. Abraham just did it. He just did it. Troy.
Well, he just did it, and God has the right to give Abraham or put Abraham separate apart from anybody he wishes. But everybody before Jesus was nailed to the cross was under the old law. Everybody after Christ was crucified is now under the new law.
Okay, and this is what Peter is trying to get to, because these people were going what? They were going back to that old law. That old law, as we go through this, did not justify them. They can live under that law, but it's not going to justify them. They're not going to get life under that law, as we can see here. James chapter 2, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? So was he justified by works, or was he justified by his faith or his belief? His faith. Verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. What made Abraham do what he did? His faith, his belief. God said, I do, no questions asked. And that's how Abraham was justified. Verse 8, Galatians 3. And the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations shall be blessed in you. Back to Genesis chapter 12. One through three. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be blessed. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you shall be cursed. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. In Abraham, all families shall be blessed. Through what? Through Christ. And we'll get into that. Okay. Okay, 10 through 14. The law cannot justify, but it brings a curse. Those under the works of the law are under a curse. Sacrifices on the altar would not remove sin, so they are not free from sin. They are under the curse of the law. In Hebrews 10, 3 through 4. He who practices the law shall live by them. He who practices the law shall live by the law, and in living by the law, you will be cursed. If the Judaizing teachers taught circumcision as necessary for salvation, then they are required to keep all of it. Galatians 5, 3 through 4. Chris has down there Galatians 5, 3, 4. And I testify against to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You have fallen from Christ. If you are circumcised for the keeping of the law and striving to live that way. And if you do that, then you're required to keep all of the law. Okay, let's read 10 through 14. For as many of you are under works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, curses everyone who does not abide by the things written in the body, in the book of the law, to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. No one is justified by God. No one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so there's the faith and the law. There's the faith and the law. Let's go back and look through this. Verse 2 of chapter 3, verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by work or by the law or by hearing with faith? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Asking that question. Verse 5. Does he then who practices provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you, do it by work of the law or by hearing with faith? Which one? So he that provides miracles, does the works of them, is he doing it by the law or is he doing it by faith? Is he doing it by the law or is he doing it by faith? Verse 6. Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Verse 7. Therefore be sure it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Who are sons of Abraham? Those of faith. Verse 8. God would justify the Gentiles by faith, justifying them by faith. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all nations shall be blessed among you. Verse 9. Those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Verse 10 and 11. For it is written, cursed is anyone not abiding with all things written in the book of the law. So cursed is those that lives by the book of the law. And they are not justified by faith. Verse 11. Now no one is justified by the law before God is evident. The righteous shall be lived by faith. By faith. Verse 12. He who practices them shall live by them. Verse 12, the first part. The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. In verse 14, in Christ is the blessings of Abraham, and then they're receiving the promise through faith in Abraham, the blessed. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How is it received, the promise of the Spirit? Through faith. And that's a blessing of Abraham. Anything? So the ones that practice the law are going to be held accountable for us. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of that law. In so doing, we receive this promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay, so the promise to Abraham was when? John.
I'm a little confused on the timeline. I guess I probably just need to clarify. I was thinking Abraham was given that promise of his seed before the Mosaic Law. So
way before.
Way before. So it was just a faith. So when he was given it, there was no such thing as Israelites yet.
What's that?
There was no such thing as Israelites yet. That's his children later on.
That's what the promise was for. Yeah. Promise was for him and all of all nations.
So it would be everyone.
Everyone. Does that, how far forward does that apply? How far forward does that promise apply to Abraham?
So Jesus comes back.
What's that?
Until the end time when Jesus comes.
Okay. So again, we are, Christ redeemed us through the curse so that we receive the promise of the Spirit. We receive the promise of the Spirit. Promise was given to Abraham. And we received that by faith. Others received it by faith. It was given by faith. So what was my question? When did Abraham get the promise? It's like way back when. And if we look in verse, okay, let's go 15 through 18. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one set it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promise were spoken to Abraham and his seed. Excuse me. He does not say into seeds after referring to many, as referring to many, but rather as one. And your seed, that is Christ. So, I mean, Paul is telling us that the promise was given to Abraham in the seed, that is to Christ. What I am saying is this, the law, which came 430 years later, later than what?
Promise to Abraham.
Later than the promise to Abraham, does not invalidate the covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. So, promise, law, 430 years later, does the law nullify the promise that was given to Abraham?
No.
No. Okay. It doesn't do away with that. When no man can change it or counterdict it. So it was given to Abraham. Verse 18, for if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise, but God has granted it to Abraham by means of promise. So, what God told Abraham was a promise, and it was a promise from God to Abraham, so what is going to change that? That's not going to change. That's not going to change. So going into and practice and living by the law, what does that get you? It's basically the curse of the law. You're not going to be able to live by the law. Okay, I made myself some notes here. Okay, promise law. Then on the other side of the law is what? Is that of in Christ. For you are all sons of, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Do we have any issues with that? In Christ, we are sons of God. How is it that we're in Christ? Through faith. Okay. Verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have closed yourself with Christ. Verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offsprings. So if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to what? Heirs according to the promise. 3:29. Promise, law, Christ, in Christ, in Christ, belong to God, offsprings of Abraham, heirs of the promise. Okay. So then he asked the question in verse 19. Why the law then? Why the law? So we have a promise that was given, and then we have a law. Why the law? Why the law? Can one be justified by that law? Why the law? Denise?
The law was a tutorial for them to see that they could not be justified by it. Okay. It was also to show them what sin was. God gave them statutes and ordinances with that law. They were to abide by it.
Okay. Alrighty. Let's read here in 19. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, which to me is the idea of because of sin. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. So the seed had come. When the seed come, the seed is, he said the seed was what? It was Christ, okay? And the proof to whom the promise had been made. Verse 20, now the mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promise of God? Is the law contrary to the promise? May it never be. For if the law had been given, which is able to impart life, then righteousness would have had been based on law. So, is the law contrary to the promise of God? No, may it never be. For if the law had been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. Okay, now so think of this for a second. If righteousness was under the law, or could be imparted under the law, then what would the purpose of Christ be? There'd be no need. Again, the law made sin prominent. I don't know. How did you say that, Denise? Law showed sin. Law
showed them.
Exemplified
they could,
sin.
They could find salvation through themselves.
Let's see. Law revealed sin. Revealed what sin is and showed them the need for sin. Romans 3:20. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. By works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Through the law, knowledge of sin is made known. And Romans 3:23 says what? Romans 3:23 says all have sinned. All have sinned. So under the law, if one lived under the law perfectly without sin, then they earned their righteousness. But by works of the law, no flesh will be justified. It isn't going to happen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Through the law, knowledge of sin was made known. Therefore, Christ lived that law, how? Perfectly, and therefore was a perfect sacrifice, an unblemished lamb that can take away the curse. They can do away with. The law was not against the promise, but it did leave man in sin. The law and the gospel are not contradictory to each other. However, the law is a tutor. Verse 24, for the law had become a tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. So the law became our tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with him. Okay. His point down here, if man could have been saved by keeping the law of Moses, God would have not given his only son to die on the cross. There would have been no need for that. The law left man in sin, separated from God, so then the promise by faith in Christ would be given to those who believed. I think I got ahead of myself there. The purpose of the law was to show sinners the need for a Savior. The law was a tutor to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Christ had come, is no longer a tutor necessary. So men are no longer under the law of Moses. The purpose of that law was fulfilled, and men are no longer subject to it. It was nailed to the cross. In Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, you have been buried with him in baptism, and you have Colossians chapter 2. You have been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What was it that he nailed to the cross? He nailed that law.
Old law.
What's that?
The old law was nailed.
The old law. What was the old law? There are some that say that he did away with, what's the word I want? He did away with the ordinances. Is that the word I want? The ordinances of the law. But he didn't necessarily do it. He didn't do away with the Ten Commandments. There are people that will teach that. He did away with the law. He got it out of the way. Again, we're not under that law. Christ canceled it out. He got rid of it. We're now living under a law of grace, which is that idea of faith. Faith in and doing his will. Okay. Chris, we're going to get there. We're going to do it. So Abraham's seeds are the children of God by faith. The last verse in this chapter, chapter 3 in Galatians 3, and if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's offspring, heir according to the promise, according to the promise. And it's according to the promise. And the promise, what does the promise have to do with the law? It doesn't have anything to do with the law. The promise was given to Abraham that in him, in his seed, all nations would be blessed. And then that is fulfilled in Christ, in which, when you belong to Christ, Abraham's offsprings, heir according to the promise, verse 29. That's probably a good verse to underline and just have and be aware of. Starting in verse 26. For you're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ Jesus. So you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. How does that happen? For all of you were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So having been clothed with Christ, we are now in Christ. In verse 26, that says, through faith. Through faith, then, baptized into Christ. What part of that equation saved you?
Baptism.
Faith. Okay. All of it. All of it. All of it. There is neither 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Gets rid of barriers. Who is anointed in the law of Christ? Who is set above? Who is better than? Who?
We're all equal.
We're all offsprings of Abraham and heirs to the promise. Baptism is the time which one puts Christ on. One enters into at the point of baptism. We are baptized into his death in Romans chapter 6, 3 through 5. Baptism washes away our sins, Acts 2, 16, 1 Peter 3, 21. No distinctions are in Christ. Our condition with God is dependent upon our fleshly relationship or conditions. We are all one in Christ. The promise is fulfilled in Christ, and we are heirs according to that promise. So this chapter 3 is basically an argument that Paul using to take the idea of going back to the law and trying to justify yourself under that law, and it's not going to happen. You can't do it. If you live and are keeping part of the law, you are obligated to keep all the law. If you're obligated to keep all the law and you strive to keep it, it's going to be a curse. There's no life in it. So what is, stay away from it. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Just real quickly, this chapter is about the about the Galatians and the idea that they're going back into the Judaism and going back into that law and trying to live under it. What's the application that we can make from that? I don't know anybody here that wants to go back and live under that law and trying to justify ourselves in that law. So how do we take this and make application to us? John?
Not to go back to our worldly ways before we became Christians. Sometimes we have a tendency of wanting to do things that we did before we became Christians, and we shouldn't be doing it anymore.
The law was their relationship with God for how long? I mean, we're talking hundreds of years. And we're talking generation upon generation upon generation. That's just, you know, our fathers and forefathers and, you know, back to our father Abraham and, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is before God. But anyway, that idea that was theirs, that was their culture, that was their heritage, that was something that they, you know, were probably trying to hang on to. What is it that we like to try to hang on to? At this point in time, I can use my mom as an example. She's really trying to hold on to that Catholicism. And she's starting to see it, but she's just having a terrible time trying to give that up. And that's just something that we need to be aware of. Whatever it is that we come out to, I would agree with you, John, whatever we come out of, we can't be tossed back into it or try to go back into it or try to compromise the faith that we have in the Word with what we lived before and make the two work together. John?
Okay. You had. That was exactly what I was going to say about the Catholicism stuff, going back into it.
Troy?
Well, if somebody were to have a child today, even though we've been under the law of Christ for many years now, and they have that child circumcised because of their belief in the old law, then they are binding themselves back to the old law. Even today, that could happen. It would be rare.
It would be rare. And,
but it could happen.
There could happen.
Some people that still believe that far back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would be possible that somebody could do that by trying to bind the old law still. And if they're going to bind the old law, that one part of it, then they have to bind it all.
Right. So. Alrighty, thank you, appreciate it.